Welcome to Idea of the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee. Today we have on the show with us Anne Gager, who holds a PhD in zoology from the University of Washington and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard. She is a senior fellow of the Center for Science and Culture and serves as a scientist at Biologic Institute, as well as director of science communications at the Center for Science and Culture. She joins us to share about how chimpanzee and human genomes differ. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gager.
It's great to be here.
So I've heard the claim that we have 99% of our DNA in common with chimps. Is this true?
No, and even scientists now acknowledge that. It's still reported in the media that way. You see it or hear it on nature shows or see it written up in the newspaper that way, but scientists now acknowledge that there's actually less similarity between us and chimps than has previously been stated.
So before we go on, Dr. Gager, could you define a few terms for us surrounding the genetic system and the genome?
Sure. So where should I start?
Why don't we start with DNA?
Okay. DNA is composed of two very long complementary strands of nucleotides. What's a nucleotide? It's the chemical building block out of which DNA and RNA are made. So in DNA, the nucleotides are called A, C, T, and G for short. And A always pairs with T and C always pairs with G. So you have two long strands wound around one another with A paired with T and C with G. DNA carries information, the information necessary to code for our proteins and to direct the timing of their use.
What does DNA expression mean?
Well, when you hear a scientist say that DNA is expressed or RNA is expressed, they mean that the DNA is copied into RNA. And what's RNA? Well, it's the medium by which the information in DNA is passed on to make something, say proteins. So when we say that DNA is copied into RNA, we say it's been expressed. You can think of the term as being like reading a text out loud. Can be said to be expressing the text.
And how about the term chromosomes?
Well, our DNA is segmented into separate chromosomes. We have 46 in all, and each of those chromosomes functions as a block of DNA that's inherited as a group. So I mentioned RNA. Let me explain that a little bit more. RNAs are strings of nucleotides that are just slightly different from DNA. In DNA, it's A, T, C, and G. In RNA, the T is substituted with something called uracil, U for short. And like I said, the RNA is used by the cell in a variety of ways. A fair amount of it is turned into information in it is turned into protein sequence. Some of it is used for regulating other genes or carrying out various other functions in the cell. A gene is defined as a stretch of DNA that carries information about how to make one or more proteins or RNAs. Used to be thought that a gene made one and only one protein. One gene, one protein was the rule. But now we know that's false. There are overlapping genes, genes going in both directions on the DNA. It's turned into a wild and woolly world for DNA.
What are proteins and what are they built out of?
Proteins are the workhorses of the cell. They're the things that build and change things and cause chemical reactions to take place. If we didn't have proteins, DNA couldn't do anything. You need proteins to make DNA and to make RNA. But similarly, you need DNA to make protein. If you don't have DNA, the information for making protein would be missing. Each protein is made up of a long string of amino acids. Those are the building blocks for proteins, and the arrangement of those amino acids is what specifies what the protein is and what it does.
So we have proteins, we have amino acids, we have RNA, but what ties these all together? What is the genetic code?
Good question. Remember I said that DNA carries information? Well, it carries it in the form of a digital code. This is how DNA is translated into protein. The code has to be read. Now, DNA is composed of nucleotides, like I said, and it's read three nucleotides at a time, and each set of three specifies a different amino acid. So that set of three is called a codon. So for example, AAA would be one codon, AAT another codon, ATC a third, and they each specify different amino acids. There are roughly 20 amino acids and 64 different possible codons, so we have extra codons left over. That means that some amino acids are coded for by multiple codons, and some codons are used as stop signals. It's really quite an elegant system. And by some calculations, it's the most efficient system that's possible out of all the possible coding sequence arrangements there could be.
Returning back to the question of the chimp genome versus the human genome, first, what is genome sequencing?
Okay, this isn't so simple to explain. DNA can be fragmented and read in bits. It's very, very long strings of nucleotides, like I said, and so far there's no technology that can read a whole strand of DNA all at once, so it has to be read in bits. And the way it's done is to read overlapping bits, so then you have to solve the problem like a jigsaw puzzle where you line up the overlapping bits and then see how they piece together. That's the way the chimp genome was sequenced. And to help with the aligning of the bits that have been sequenced, they used the human genome as a template, meaning they already had the human genome figured out, and they assumed that the chimp genome would be very similar, so they aligned the chimp sequences to the human sequences and called that the chimp genome. Now, sequencing is also complicated because there's a certain amount of error rate that goes into reading the sequence of nucleotides. Mistakes happen for various reasons. It's not a perfect read each time you do it. So the way around that problem is to read through the sequence multiple times. And if 5 out of 6 times you get an A in that position, then you're pretty confident it should be A. Well, they only did the chimp sequence with a 3.6-fold redundancy. That means they read through the same stretch of DNA 3 or 4 times. Now, you can guess that getting 1 out of 4 wrong might be fairly convincing, but if you have 2 out of 2, you're not going to know which way it should go. It's much more convincing if you do a 12-fold read where you've got 12 different reads and you find 2 out of 12 have one read and the other 10 a different, then you can say with pretty good confidence that the 10 read versions are correct. So what does this mean for the chimp genome? Only a 3.6-fold redundancy means that there is a chance that error has crept into the sequence.
So what percentage difference would you say that there actually is between the chimp genome and the human genome?
That's not an easy question to answer. The genome consortium that did the sequencing for the chimps, they calculated it as 1.23% difference between us and chimps. Or if you take into account the fact that not all humans have the same DNA sequence, 1.08%. Now, obviously, that's a very, very low level of difference, but that's just counting the differences that could be detected by their method of sequencing. And what that method of sequencing misses is small insertions and deletions. And according to some calculations, small insertions of a few bases up to 100 or so bases can occur at a frequency of 2 to 4%. So that already jumps us from 1 to 4 to 5% difference. Then there are other things that would not be counted very well. Large duplications in our genome compared to chimps represent 2.7% difference that wasn't accounted for by that method of sequencing. So we've added 2 to 4% to 1% to 2.7%. Then there are other small differences. I would say that my best estimate is that we are at least 8% different in our DNA from chimps.
Well, thank you for joining us today to talk about the human genome and whether or not it is very similar to the chimp genome.
I'm glad to be here.
Join us next time for more on the human genome and the chimp genome. This is Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thanks for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.